This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Honor to you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Son of God. Thank you, Father. Honor to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you, Jesus. Honor to you. Glory to you, Son of God. Glory to you. Glory to you. Glory to you. Glory to you, Jesus. Glory to you. Glory to you, my Father. Glory to you, Son of God. Glory to you, Son of God. Hallelujah to you. Thank you for another time in your presence this week. Thank you for blessing. Thank you for light. Honor you, Jesus. Give you praise, our Father. Oh, glory to you. Thank you for mercy. Thank you for grace. Thank you for light. Thank you for light. Thank you for light. Thank you for light. Mercy, Jesus. We come. I come. I come. I come. I have come. We have come to receive from you, Jesus. We have come to be blessed by you, Jesus. We have come to receive light from you, Son of God. We have come to be a mightily Son of God. We have come to receive impartation from you. We have come. We have come. Show us mercy, Lord. Grant unto us great breakthrough in the Spirit. Have mercy upon us. Grant unto us great help. Thank you, Jesus. Lead us, guide us to your thought. Bring thought from far and near. Give us instruction. Give us commandment. Give us that which is good. Let our soul delight itself in goodness. Cause our soul to delight in goodness. For because you, God, you are good. You are good. Lord, you are good. You are good. God, you are good. You are good. You are so good. Cause our soul to delight itself in goodness. Thank you, my Father. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name we are praying. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5 says the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness. Last time that I was here, I was sharing that the intention of the Lord is to give us things to come. I will say things to come is what the Spirit of truth shows. What does not arrive at things to come. It must have guided you to truth. And the word of all truth is the word of believing the truth. That's why I use the word that will guide you to all truth, is that believing the truth and what? Knowing the truth and what? The making of the truth. Then you arrive at loving the truth. So there is the believing the truth. Because when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you believe in the truth. But that does not mean that you know the truth. Then you need to know the truth. There's believe the truth. There's know the truth. It's a journey. It doesn't happen to you one day. You can believe the truth and you stop there. You never come to a place of knowing the truth. And when you are knowing the truth, you don't just start knowing the truth from I. There are different levels to truth. Because the truth is in Jesus. So when you can believe in Jesus, when you believe in Jesus, you are believing in the truth that is in Jesus. But you don't know truth. And in knowing the truth, there are levels to knowing the truth. There are knowing certain things that are truth, but they are not spiritual. There are truths that are not spiritual. It's truth, but they're not spiritual. Like knowing that idol is nothing is a kind of truth, but it's not spiritual. It's not spiritual. That you know that idols are nothing. It's not spiritual. It does not take spiritual soul to know that. Because you see, brightness of mind and heart, we have white people,
that does not believe in demon or in sorcery or incantation, that when you use those kind of things against them, it does not work on them because they don't believe it. Because by reason of their mind, they don't believe some things that the Indians, the Africans believes, that you can charm somebody. They don't believe it. And because the mind have a very strong belief that nobody can, it will not work on them even when you want, when you use it. So that's why I said that there's some truth that may not be spiritual, that you don't need to have spiritual soul to know them. Like the law of Moses is a form of truth, but it's not truth. That's how Romans 3 render it. But that law of Moses was ordained by the hand of angel. In Romans 2:20, he called them, said they are instructor of babes, a teacher of babes, instructor of the foolish, who are the form of knowledge. So they have the form of knowledge and they have the form of truth in the law. So you can see that the law, the truth of the law, is a form. It's not the real truth. So a man can have a form of truth. Let me use that word. To have a form of truth meaning that truth is not spiritual. It's a form of truth. A man can have a form of knowledge, but it's not the knowledge. But when you move into the word of knowledge, it's a word that you will need spirits to aid you. You'll find that in the book of Ephesians chapter 1, 17. Colossians 1 from verse 7. That they are to grant that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, will give unto the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Also, we also find in that book of Colossians that said, for this cause, he bowed his knee for this cause. Also, since the day he did not sit to pray for them, and to desire that they may be filled with the knowledge of the will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So there are knowledge that is a form of knowledge. It's not knowledge. There's a truth that's a form of truth that's not truth. So the form is like, when you say a form of something, it's like a copy of something. Like milk of the world is not spiritual. Knowledge of the milk of the world is not spiritual. I'm not even going to say that it's in the Bible. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were unable to bear it, neither yet and now ye. So everything that they call elementary teaching of Christ are all meek. All elementary teaching of Christ. Faith in the Lord of Christ, love for all the saints, they are meek. That's how they taught it to Gentile churches. But to Hebrew churches, they broke those two things down into six. In Hebrew chapter 6, 1 to 2. They call it in that Hebrew 5. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that won't teach you again, will be the first principles of the oracles of God. So there is the first principles of the oracles of God. I love that word. When you ought to be teacher, you have need that won't teach you again. Someone will not teach you again. That's the thing that they say, that teach you again, know the law, for they shall know me from the least to the greatest. Before you can arrive here, when you say no one here, it's not talking about human being. It's not abandoning the place of five-way ministry. Because five-way ministry will keep teaching, keep ministering, till we all come. He said that. Five-way ministry will keep ministering till we all come, Ephesians chapter 4. Five-way ministry will keep going from verse 10. He gave some apostle prophet, some prophet, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the revival of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, comma, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed through and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, and by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That is when five-fold ministry will no longer teach or minister. When we no longer have more children that can be turned to and fro by winds of doctrine, by the slight cunning of men, craftiness of men, and by the wind of doctrine, and the what? The slight of men, and the cunning crafty, whereby they lie, that spirit lie. So these are the conditions that must be in place before five-fold ministry will not be no longer happening. So when he said, when you ought to be teachers, you have need that another, who is another, both men and the spirit of truth. You know, those are the two persons that teach us. The spirit of truth also teaches. You find that in the book of John also. The spirit of truth also teaches us. It teaches, it guides, it leads. The spirit of truth teaches. Look at it, John 14, 26. But the Comforter, 26 or 14 of John, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Eh? And bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So you see, there are two beings that are responsible for teaching. Fivefold ministry under the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost don't just come to a believer and start teaching you directly. Holy Ghost will use men that is under him. Holy Ghost will use men. Because Holy Ghost want, who is the only one? Holy Ghost, according to Acts 20, Holy Ghost appoints overseers to teach and to preach and to guide and sometimes to instruct. Then he takes it over. He takes over from them. Because they can instruct, they can teach, they can even counsel, but you may not do it. It will move the pastors, it will move your teachers. Say in Acts 20, 28, take it therefore unto yourselves. These are our elders that he gathered from Ephesus, all the Asia. They came to Miletus. And to all the flock as church sent, over with the Holy Ghost, and make you overseer. Can you see? To feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. A big amen. Amen. So you can see that Holy Spirit will take overseers. And overseers are ministry. Overseers, I mean those who take oversight. You also find the same thing in 1 Peter chapter, is it 4 or 5? To feed, he used the word, the elders, just like Acts 20. They call the elders. The elders, which among you I exhort, elders can either be fivefold ministry, or those who has obeyed God, they have arrived at the place of elder. Like in Timothy, he said, let the elder brothers, he said that brothers should take care of their younger brothers. And they should take care of their younger sisters. The elders, but these elders that Peter is talking about here, are elders that are standing in offices or ministries. But they have used fivefold ministry, and also they have become an elder in the spirit. Because you can be a fivefold ministry, but you are not arrived at elder. Not every fivefold ministry is an elder. You can be an apostle, you can be a pastor, but you're not an elder yet. You're not an elder yet. It takes sufferings of Christ, the patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. It takes endurance to bring an eldership in the soul. Elder has to do with age. It has to do with sufferings of Christ, deniers, laying down your life, to have allowed God to use you. You have endured the teaching of the Lord. You have endured chastening of the Lord. You become an elder. An elder means the aged. Who have aged in the spirit. Among you, I also exhort that I'm also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, just like that Acts 20, which is among you, taking the oversight. So, okay, the elders are overseers. That not by constraint, but willingly, not for 50 what? Looks, but of a ready mind. So you see. So what brought me to this place is that you cannot take away the place of fivefold ministry until there's no longer children. There will always be children till when we are all men. And what does it mean to men? In understanding, you are men. They are no longer children. They are men. And you even saw young men, and not just men. I felt that the time that you no longer have teachers is when you are fathers. When you are fathers. Because fathers are teachers. And say, for the time you ought to be teachers, they are fathers, are teachers. When you are fathers, are teachers. What are fathers? Fathers are teachers. And teachers are men that have arrived at making covenants. Fathers are teachers. Young men are not teachers. Fathers are the teachers. You find that book of Genesis, when it talk about Abraham, he will command and he will teach his children. He will command. Genesis chapter 18 to 19. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. 19. For I know him, that he will command his children, but not only his children, and his household. To be an household, you can be a young man. You can have children. And member of his household may be men that are young men in the household. We saw that member of him. After him, and he shall command his children and his household after him, they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. So you can see that Abraham is the father of children and father of household. This household are men. They have wife and they have wife and children. But they are not yet fathers. So when I say that, you can be in fivefold ministry. Paul rendered it beautifully way also like this. He said, in Christ, you may have many instructors, but you don't have many fathers. In 1 Corinthians 4:15-16, you see, in 1 Corinthians 1:3, he talk about, you are babes, I have fed you with milk. So from 1 Corinthians 4:14, I write not this thing to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you, for though you have 1,000 instructors, so fivefold ministry, you can be an instructor. It takes from fivefold ministry for you to graduate to become a father. And from being a father, you can become an elder. This is a journey. They can ordain as an elder in church, but you may not be an elder. You may just be an instructor. Because you have not arrived at where God has made covenant with you. You have a past beyond the word and law. You are in covenant. That what makes you to be a father. You have covenant. Because God make covenant with fathers. God don't make covenant with children. God make covenant with fathers. Father will distill covenant. Father will teach covenant as word and law and commandment to children. But the order of covenant are fathers. Because the covenant has its law. The covenant has its precept. The covenant has its word. So the father will teach children word and law. But not what? But not covenant. When a man has covenant, I become fathers. When he has finished covenants. Because covenant is not struck at once too. They start making covenant with you from being a man. When you have arrived at the end of the covenant, you become a father. Just the way that you don't let the law at once, you grow. You don't let the word at once. There's what of the word. Making covenant also, you take time in covenant. The end of the covenant, you become a father. That the end of the covenant is that you become a father. When you reach the end of the covenant, you become a father. And what's the end of the covenant? When you are keeping it, not just making it. When you are a keeper of the covenant of God, then you say you are a father. But when they make covenant with you, you can be a man. That's why in the place of covenant, they are the least to the greatest. When you are moving at the place of the greatest in the covenant, you are becoming a father and an elder in the spirit. So Paul said in that Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4:14. So in chapter 3, he have said that I fed with milk. Then in 14, I write not this thing to you to shame you, but as my beloved son, I warn you. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have you not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. So we consider what made up a father is that the father begat. Father begat. Wherefore, I beseech you, be ye followers of me. So fathers sometimes have children, and father has sons. So you see, every father must have children, and every father will have sons. And sometimes some father has babes. Maybe a father, once show that you are a father, that you have babes, you have children, and also you have sons. Sons are in the class of men. And you become an elder when you have fathers. So you say man is a father when he has babes, children. He has babies, he has children, he has sons, and he has fathers. You are not an elder. You will see John is an elder writing in 1 John 3. The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius. The elder to the well-beloved Gaius. So you see, before you can be an elder in the spirit, please, I'm not talking about appointment of elder in church. You can be an elder in church, but you are just an instructor. You can be a deacon in church, you are just an instructor. You can be a pastor, you are just an instructor. You can be an apostle, you are just an instructor. You can be an instructor of babies. Babes. I'm very sorry. It is not to discredit five-way ministry, but I'm not going to say so. He said it in Romans chapter 3. That some of them who are Pharisees and Sadducees, which are teachers of the law and of Moses, they said they are instructors of babes. In Romans 3. They are instructors of babes and teachers of babies. An instructor of foolish and a teacher of babes. He said they are a guide of the blind and a light of them that are in darkness. You are a five-way ministry, but you cannot be a teacher of saints in light. Because you yourself, you are an instructor in five-way ministry. Not every five-way ministry can be a guide of the enlightened. Because they themselves, they are not yet enlightened. So you can be a guide. There are five-way ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor and teacher. They are a guide of the blind. They can't guide the one that have light. Because why? They are not spiritual. But you can move from being a blind of the guy. You can also be an instructor of foolish. Of the foolish. The blind, the foolish. And then you can be a teacher of babies. Babes. A teacher of babes. So what are these guide, this light, and this instructor and teacher? He said they are form of knowledge. And they are form of truth. But a man can move, become a guide of those who their eyes are open. It's so that if you're able to guide the eyes of them that are open, it shows that your eyes is more open than them. If you are going to be a light to them that are in light, it shows that you are in higher light. If you are going to be a teacher of treat of those who are spiritual, then you are more spiritual too. And if you are going to be an instructor of the wise, then you are wiser too. I just want you to see that for you not to be like this of Romans 2:19-20, you must be, become enlightened, you must become wise, you must have been raised in your own soul. So what brought me to this place when I started was Hebrews 5, when it's talk about the principle, the first principle of the oracles of God. And you have need that one teach you again. So that will teach you again. Because he said it, that when they will no longer teach you again, when you have arrived at not make covenant, but you have come to the end of the covenant. Because covenant is about to help you to know the Lord. Both in Romans 8 and Jeremiah 31, in Hebrew 8, say, for this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. It's not making with the children of Israel, it's with the house. Who are the head of the house? Fathers are the head of the house. Fathers are the head of the house. Not with children of Israel. I will make the house of Israel. After that's why it's the house. And if it's a house, it's building. Those who have been raised is the house. House are not floor. House are not ground. House is a building. House, those who have been built. I will make the house with the house. So the house of Israel are the fathers. They are the ones that have been raised. Those who have been built up. and I've been covered and I've been furnished. Your beauty has to call it and furnish it, because that's why covenant are with those who have been furnished. You have furnished them with the word of God. You beat them with the word of God, and you have furnished them with the law of the house. Ezekiel said there's a law of the house. The house has a law of the house. So those are the things that you must be in the house. You have built the house and you have furnished the house. And what you use to furnish the house is the law. Ezekiel 43, verse 10 to 12. That son of man, show the house to the house of Israel. The house of Israel here, our father, not to everybody. You can't show the house to your house. Imagine you take the plan of your house and come to show it to your baby. And you show this is our house that I want to be. You just say, my house. You can't interpret it. So to show the house to the house, you show the house to fathers. Because they are raised. They are house of Israel. It's not children of Israel. Thou son of man. Can you see? It's a son of man that can show to fathers. Show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquity. Children are not ashamed when they do rough. And before you can be ashamed, you need to have knowledge. And let them measure the pattern. If they be ashamed of all that they have done. Children are not ashamed. Children can poo-poo. They poo-poo on their body. They're not ashamed. Mommy, I poo-poo. I poo-poo. So when you are children, your soul, you are still thoughts. So it is mature men that are men and fathers that you can show things. Even sometimes young men ask folly. That's why Paul will write to Timothy, don't let anyone despise your youth. Youth ask folly. Youths have foolish. So he showed that youths have foolishness in them. They may have knowledge, but their knowledge is still limited. Or they are priests. They have not even come into wisdom. They have knowledge, but they have not grown to wisdom by exercise of obedience and guidance. You come into being wise as a young man when you allow the word of God to guide you and you submit yourself to tutors and governor to instruct you, to help you, guide you. The more they guide, the more you become wiser. That was what Solomon taught in the book of Solomon. He taught, my son, take heed to the instruction of your father and to the what? To the sayings of your mother. 8. My son, hear the instruction of thy father and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace up to thy head and chain about thy neck. So when you wear your fathers and mothers are the one they make covenant with. You give law and instruction to sons, to children, and to babes. It's an instructor of babes. So you instruct babes. You give instruction to sons, like that Proverb 1:8 to 9 was saying, so that they can acquire grace. And what is grace? Building them up. I come into God and to the Lord of His grace is able to build you up. This means that you can be a son, but you still need more building until you are full father. Even when you are a son, you still need to be built further. So he says to Solomon, Solomon, my son, hearken to what? To the instruction of thy father, my son, Solomon, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be ornament. Can you see? This one ornament, you know, I will say something. I said, house of Israel need to still be adorned, for they shall be an ornament of grace. Ornament of grace. What's ornament? 1 Peter 3 call ornament as adorning. 1 Peter 3 to 4. Whose adorning let not be the outward adorning of plating of hair and of wearing of gold and of putting of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is incorruptible. Even the ornament. Ornament is adorning. So you can have a house that is not yet adorned. That's what Proverbs was saying. By wisdom is an house built. You can build the house of Israel, which are men. When you are built, you are a man. When you are built, you are a man. But to be built is not enough. They need to adorn you. And what do they adorn you? They adorn you with what? Instructions. Any soul that eats instruction will not be ornamented. Any soul that does not want the guidance of tutors and government upon his life, don't want to submit under government, mean under authority, spiritual authority that are spiritual, you will not be ornamented. You will still keep your foolishness. There are things that God wants to take away from you, or God wants to raise you above. You will never come above them. That's why you can see some of our parents, our spiritual parents in the law, that are heading churches. They are becoming fathers. They are five of me. Some of them are prophets. They are apostles. But you find those apostles still being instructed by fathers and elders so that they can fully mellow where there's no longer foolishness in them. They are father themselves, but they're still being instructed by elders. You see, father, they are not instructed of babies. They are in faithful ministry, pastors. They have gone through a lot of dealing of the Lord, but they are still under authority of fathers and elders. Because sometimes what they may be taking out of them may not be foolishness, maybe not be blinding, but they are adorning them. They are ornamenting them. Instructions, counseling them. They are ornamenting the house to make the house more beautiful. Because the more you are ornamented, the more you are instructed, the more you are done, those ministries, those fathers in our community or in the body of Christ, they are fathers. Some of them are fathers, but they want to make them to become the better fathers. And the people that are ornamenting them are headers. That's the role you find in the life of Paul in Acts 20. That's what you find in 1 Peter chapter 3. Elder writing to fathers. That's what you find in 1 John chapter 2. That you find in 4, you find what? In 3 John. I write unto you, fathers. These are fathers. They are made our covenants. They know in which from the beginning. But they are still being written by higher father and an elder. He was still writing to them. What was doing in them there, they don't have foolishness, but it was adorning them. He's decorating them. He's beautifying them. So that their ministry can have more finesse. You can have finesse. They can minister to the flock of God. Their walk with God can also be adorned. Their feet. Their feet can be more adorned. They can be more perfect in their walkings. Their oscillation, the way they respond to God can be more perfect. So when you say that word, when you have need of teachers, you have need of teachers. So a father can still be taught by another father and elders. But what he's teaching him, sometimes it's not teaching him what. It's not teaching laws. But sometimes he's adorning him with things. He's ornamenting him with grace. Sometimes you say, our father has started to visit our churches. And they lay hand upon fathers of old houses to ornament them, to put more grace on them. Then you say, man, call no man your father. My brother, you never love grace in your life. Sometimes both the fathers, overseer, elders, they are under Holy Ghost to move, put them at different level of oversight. A father, an elder, when you are an elder don't deal with babes. I'm talking about elder in the spirit, don't deal with babes. Elder take care of fathers. Elder takes care of young men. Elder takes care of little children, but not babies. So it's the work of the fathers and young men to take care of babies. And take care of children. The work of young men is to take care of babes. And take care of what? And take care of children. Either we take care of fathers, take care of young men, and take care of children in the kingdom of God. Where fathers will take care of young men and take care of children. And sometimes they can even take care of babes. Like Paul was saying, I could not speak unto you as a father. In Christ, have I begotten you as a father? And then, young men, before you can instruct, before you can guide, before you can lead, on that Holy Ghost who make you overseer, there are strata. That's why sometimes, in some meetings, an elder, a father will not allow some people to teach. Because you know that in this meeting, there are some people that are young men. And you, as you are here, you are still in the class of young men. You can't teach some kind of things. Or, as you teach your young men, sometimes be a young man, you talk them. Whenever you give the opportunity to come and teach, you must understand and go and stay at a level to teach. You must not give up. Because those people that are in the congregation may be elders. So, you have to know that if you teach them, you may veer off. And they will see your nakedness. And you're not keeping others. So, wisdom requires you to just teach. You know that in that company are children, are babes, and maybe young men. But if a younger young man, they allowed to come and teach, just help, provide things that will help you to raise the babes, strengthen the children, and encourage your young men that you are maybe a bit older than them. And because people that are fathers and elder, whenever you strengthen, you also encourage them. They also receive blessing. You must be wise. As we build in the community, we build in the house. And it's not only Paul that learned this in the apostle. Even David knew this. David said, I've not exercised myself on matters that are too high for me. It's a show of meekness. So that because if you exercise yourself, things that are too high for you, evil spirit will hear you down. They will hear you down. In Psalm 131, 1 and 2. Lord, my heart is not haughty. You must have haughtiness of heart. Nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I exercise myself in great matters. Or in things too high for me. Surely I behave and quieten myself. I love that word, behave. Like the way Paul wrote to Timothy, 1 Timothy 3:14. This thing write I unto thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, this thing I took time to write to you. I want to come to you. But in case I tarry, I send you a manuscript to use it and you to guide your life. And the person is writing to is a bishop. The person is writing to is an apostle. Timothy is a bishop of bishops. He appoint bishop. He appoint elder. He appoint deacons. Though he's young, but by the reason of his soul, he's already a son. He called my beloved son. But Timothy have not arrived to be a father. But he's a young man. He can take care of young men. He can take care of what? Of children. And can take care of babes. So he says still need wisdom. And so Paul, as a father, that he also joined towards an elder, was writing to him. Because within that place, he has elders that he appointed. But those elders, maybe they are just young men. But he has edge above them because he has been raised. He has worked closely with Paul. And he has more wisdom than the rest of the elders. I'm going to tell you that there's order in the spirit. I want to start teaching about good and things to come. Things to come? No. In that Hebrew 5. For you have need that won't teach you again, which be the first principle of the oracle of men, and become as much as have need of meat and not strong meat. For everyone that uses meat is unskillful. Can you see what is lacking is key? And skill are keys. Skills are keys to navigate feeding. Key are key to navigate both feeding and leading. That's why you can be led. And a man that has key will tell you that leading is not accurate. You have leading, but to interpret the leading, you don't have skill for it. But if you are full of yourself, the Lord, Holy Ghost told me, Holy Ghost, we just leave you. Go and do what Holy Ghost told you to do. But you are going to mess up things. Holy Ghost left you, but you can know that this is what Holy Ghost is telling you. The way Samuel ran to Eli. And Eli put Samuel, he guided him. He was just a young man. He was just a child. So my brothers and sisters, let us be humble. Don't exercise yourself in things that are too greater for you. Even when you check out of old time, sons, look at Isaac. Isaac is a perfect son. To his Isaac is an example of those who are looking for promise. That those, if you're interested in promise, that's Isaac. Study Isaac very well. Isaac kept on looking to the father's instruction, even to what he should marry. How he should offer sacrifice. Everything he was being instructed by his father. We saw it at the age of 17. We saw it at the age of when he was already becoming a young man. If you're going to arrive, say, know the Lord, which I know me for the great of this spirit. Before you say you can arrive at a place of know the Lord, where you will no longer so much, is when you are a father. I write to you, Father, because you have known him. That's from the beginning. And the Lord is the beginning. The gross high throne from the beginning is the place of that sanctuary. So to know the Lord is to know him that's from the beginning. So I write to you, Father, because you have known him from the beginning. If you have not arrived, that's the place you must reach. So long as you don't arrive where you are knowing the one that is from the beginning, you will need instructors. You will need teachers. I will need teachers. And I will need what? I will need light. I will need guide. Guide in those who are in lights of God. Light of the Son of God. Light of the Father. Good and perfect light. I need guidance. But God will put men there and under what? Leadership of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will make men overseer. There is overseer at every height you come into in your work with God. You see, God surrounds himself with 24 elders. When you say you are an elder in the spirit, there's something. You can sit at the gate. When you read the book of Job, you read the little Israel. Elders are those who keep the gate. They keep entrance. They are the ones that receive. And it takes time to be an elder. It takes work of obedience. It takes a lot of guidance, acquisition of wisdom from elders and fathers. Elders and fathers. Over the years, you submit all to fathers and elders, fellows to elders, fathers and elders, and you acquire a lot of wisdom. You become vast. Then you yourself will be a father. Then you yourself will also be an elder. Because one generation to generation, there must be fathers and elders. That's what God used to preserve generation and to preserve his heritage on the earth. We must never be fatherly generation. Or like what is said in the book of Proverbs. Say he said to his father and his mother in Proverbs 30 from verse 11 to 13. There's a generation that curses their father and does not bless their mother. There's a generation that appear in their own eyes, yet is not washed from their filthiness. You see, you never. Filthiness are foolishness. Filthiness are shortcomings. Filthiness and uncleanness of a young man. There's a generation, how lofty are their eyes. What's that lofty? That was what that Psalm 131 was saying. I've not exalted myself in lofty things. Their eyelids are lifted up. There's a generation whose teeth are as sword, and their jaw teeth as knife to devour the poor from all the earth and the needy from among men. So that generation is already rising. When I look at present generation growing up, I see this generation happening. John called this kind of generation, he called it untoward generation. They are untoward generation. Untoward generation. They are generation of vipers, adulterers, and adulteresses. He called it untoward generation. It's U-N-T-O word. And with many words did he testify and he's saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. John also said the same thing. Then said it to the multitude that came unto the baptized, say, O generation of vipers, who have warned you to flee from the wrath to come. Bring forth therefore full word of repentance and begin not to say within yourself. Can you say, we say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our fathers. For I say unto you that God is able to, of this stone, to raise up children unto Abraham. Just like John said the same thing, John also said the same thing in John 8. For you say you are children of Abraham, but you do not do the works of Abraham. So I beg you, brethren, we must know that we cannot be those who curse our father and refuse to bless our mother. We are not those who are lifted up. We must be humble. And humble will teach us so that we can be taught, we can be guided, we can be led, we can be instructed. So that, and in doing that, we are being built up and we are being ornamented or adorned. So you see here in John 16, where it says, the spirit of truth, I was teaching about to guide you to all truth. That was what I was taking. That was where I deviated from. That to guide to all truth is that you can believe in truth, but you don't know truth. And when you know truth, you may not be made by truth, because truth is supposed to make you. And for making you, so truth can make you to be children. Truth can make you to be a man in Christ. Then truth can make you, further, the truth, that's the truth of Christ, can make you now to become little children. And truth can make you to be a young man. And truth can make you to be a father. So then he said, he will guide you into all truth. All truth, there means the truth of truth from the form of truth. In true truth in self, which is the knowledge of truth, where you can know truth. But knowing truth is not all what you need. That's what truth wants to make you. Truth wants to make covenant with you. And when you make covenant, truth wants to be make you to become a father. You can believe truth. You can know truth. You can be make truth can make you. And finally, can love truth. You can love truth. You can love truth in your inward parts. You can be a lover of truth. Lovers of truth. Which were things that Apostle John was celebrating from 1 John 1 to 5. 1 John, all the first epistle of John, 1 John, all the chapter in 1 John 1 to 5, 2 John, and 3 John. He was celebrating truth in the inward part of his children, his sons, and fathers. So can you see in that John 16 that he can guide you into all truth? He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that which he shall speak. He will show you things to come. So I started saying that things to come are things of the Father, things of the Son, and things of God, and much more, things of eternal life, which is God, the only true God. These are the word of things to come. And these things to come must be shown unto you. He said these things to come, when they begin to show them to you, he will glorify Jesus. So he said that these things to come are things of glory. They are glorious things. They are glorious things that will be spoken to you, to be shown to you. And because they are things to come, they are not the things of the present. They are the things of the world to come. Things to come. When you read Hebrew 8, Hebrew 9, Hebrew 10, they are things of the world to come. They are things of glory. Say, he shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. He shall show you things to come. He shall speak. He shall show you things to come. He shall glorify me. He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore say I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. So yeah, we have seen that things to come are things of the Son of God, things of the Father, and things of God. That is the Father, not God. If the Father is God, but the way Epistle analyzed it in Colossians 2:2, they separate the things of the Father from things of God. Colossians 2:2. And Jesus also celebrated them in John chapter 21 also. In Colossians 2:2, that their hearts will be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledge of the mystery of God and of the Father. They say of God and of the Father and of Christ. So when you see me say the things of the Son, the things of the Father, the things of God, because Epistle separated them, because Jesus Christ also separated them. Give me John chapter 20. What's what I believe? I go to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. After resurrection, from verse 16, John 20, 16 and 17. Jesus said unto her, Mary, she turned on and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, that I ascend to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. So in our journey, when Jesus Christ said in chapter 14, John 14 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father, or no one ascends to the Father. You have to arrive at the Father before you can get to God. So you go to the Father first, then you go to God. Because there's the mystery of the Father, that you need the mystery of the sons to arrive at the mystery of the Father. Then you need the Father to arrive at God. I ascend to my Father, your Father, to my God and your God. Because these are promises. You find the same thing in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I shall be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. John 6, 16, 17. And what agreement had the temple of God with idol? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God. So you saw there, they said the glory of God with idol and the temple of the living God. So there are two temples. So the temple of the living God is a father. The living God is a father. Temple of God is God. So when you hear the living God is a father. So John called it the living father. Joker called it the living father. So when the Joker is referring to living father there, he's talking about living God. But God. So living God is the father. Where God is the God of the Father. I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come here from one day and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, I will receive you. I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughter. God, the living God, is a teacher, a nurturer. Living God, who is the Father, is a nurturer, is a trainer, and is an instructor. But when it's a God, you know, I was talking about fathers and elders. So those two things, there is an equivalent of it with the father. So when is God is an elder, ancient. But when it's a father, he's still instructing, he's teaching, he's guiding. Just like he's a son, he's a father, and he's a God. He operates in these three estates. Jokers operate as a son, he operates as a father, and operates as a God. But God always operates as two. God operates as a father and God. But Jesus operates as a son, as a father, and as God. So you find Jokers operating in these three stratas. He's operating as a son. Joy is a son to God, who is a God and father. So Jokers is the son to the father. Grace be done to you. Mercy and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God the Father. I'm teaching about when you need to see things to come. We need to move into all these things. This is the reality of the world to come. Their war is a war. Their war to come. From John 1:3, he said, "Great be unto you, mercy, peace from God the Father." There's God the Father. God the Father. And so there's God the Father that has Jesus as a son. But Jesus himself is a son, is a father, is a God. This Jesus has a father and he has a God. So when he said in that book of John 20, I go to my father, who's your father, to my God, he's a God. He himself is a God, but he has a God over him. He has a God over him. He has a father over him. And that is all what he wants, and he's a God over him. So who will be a God over us? Is Jesus will be our God. Who will be a father to us? Jesus will be our father. So we'll be a father under Jesus as a God. Jesus is the one that will guard us. Jesus is the one that will father us. Even when we enter into our fatherhood. Because he is under a father. And he's under a God. Therefore he's a father. He's under another father. And therefore he's a God. He's under God. That order can never be broken. You'll find that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. To tell you that you can never grow Jesus. So that we can be humble. 1 Corinthians 15, 27, 24. But every man is on order, Christ the first fruit, after war, they that are Christ at his coming. Then come at the end, when he shall deliver up the kingdom to God, deliver up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Deliver the kingdom to God, even the Father. Christ will deliver the kingdom to God and the Father. So that means the God is also the Father to him. So it's not just that the person is delivering the kingdom to, is only a God to him. That person is also a Father to him. So that's why he is a son, he's a father, he's a God. He's a God that has a God. This is what Sam was saying, that God standeth among the gods in the congregation of the gods. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty and judged among the gods. So, in learning God, no, we are going to be gods. But we'll be God under the God Jesus Christ. Psalm said it. Joker also said it. Psalm 82 said, I have said you are gods. and all of you are the children of the Most High. And Jochai remember said this also. Say, because Jochai said, for this thing we stone you because you say you are a son of God. Say, do not know your scripture? In John 10, the Jew answer in saying, for a good work we stone thee not. Just say, ah, my father are one. So when he talk about I'm a father and one year, he's talking about I'm also a father. I'm a father. Ah, my father are one. That means the way my father is a father means I'm a father in that capacity. But that's not I'm a father in that capacity, in that realm. But when my father moved to be a God, he become a father to me. Because there are strata in fatherhood. There are all dying fatherhood. That's why you see John is a father, writing to fathers. Because I was saying that you cannot make covenant with children. You may be a father, but the fatherhood is even the fatherhood. There are fathers of fathers. Ah, my father are one. Then the Jew took up the stones again to stone him. 32. Jesus answered them, many good works. He said, many good works. Because the good must be first for a work before you inherit it as a nature, as a good nature. Good trees. You must do good works for you to become good. To have good, for you to be good. Ah, my father are one. Then the Jew took up stone to stone him. Jesus said nothing. Many good works. Let men see your good works, that may glorify your Father. You connect good works to Father in Matthew 5. Many good works have I shown unto you from my Father. But this person is showing good works here. He's a son of the Father. When he was born yet, he was not a little child. He was a son. So, you show that when they are a child, you know, I was saying sometimes, I say you have to do child. He has good. So when you become a father, when you become a young man, I say, when you come into acceptable work, but there's a good works, there's acceptable works, and there's a perfect works. But what you call many good works here, because this is how you can start with them. You can't show them acceptable works. They can't even believe acceptable works. You say good works. You're showing them works that will make them to be children of their Father in heaven. They need to show many good works to them so that they can be converted by these good works and they can become children of their Father in heaven. Many good works have I shown you from my Father, which is also that John 16. The Spirit of Truth is going, he shall show you things to come. Things to come are things of the Father. Many good works have I shown you from my Father. Every good gift. For which of those works do you stone me? The jury's answer is saying, for a good work we stone thee not. But for blasphemy, that thou, being a man, make thyself God. Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law? I say, ye are gods. If ye call them gods, unto whom the word of God came. Can you say, where they start making you good is with the word of God. And the scripture cannot be broken. Say ye of him, whom the Father has sanctified. I know there's a sanctification in Christ, but there's what God used to sanctify us. And what God used to sanctify us with truths. And the truth, there's the word of truth and the law of truth. There's a word of truth. Jesus had both of them in John. He had the word of truth and he had the law of truth. Sanctified by a truth, for thy word is truth. And also talk about another truth again. For this truth have I spoken unto them. So there are truth as a word and truth as a law. For yourself, say ye of him, whom the Father. So that does God, that does the Father sanctify. The Father sanctify with what? With what? With his goodness. His goodness. That blessed because I say I am the Son of God. You know, this is the first time Jacob will say boldly that he's Son of God to the Jew. This is the first time. He only talk about Son of God among his disciples, but to the Jew. When the Father has sanctified, say unto the world, that blessed because I said I am the Son of God, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know. You need to believe before you can know. But if I do, though you believe me not, believe the works that you may know. If you don't believe, you can't know. That you may know and believe that the Father is in me. And I in him. John 10 from verse 30 to 38 is what we have read. So you can see that you cannot be children of God and sons of God with a young man if you don't have access to good. And that good is in the hand of the Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 1. Be therefore full of God. God here is Son of God, who is a Father. Or God here is the living God, who is a trainer, who is a nurturer, the one that raises the fathers. Be therefore full of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also have loved us. Your walk in love is your commandment. Walk in love is commandment. That is the commandment of every man that is following God. You can't follow God and you don't walk in love. Walking in love is your work. It's your good work. Walk in love is your labor. What your social labor is your work. And that's how you follow God. You follow God by walk in love. Your soul must walk in love. Love is what makes you good. Love that truth command dear. Love that righteousness reveal. Not love that you made up from your mind. That love work. Everlasting righteousness reveal. Love that truth of God reveal. Walk in love. As Christ also had loved us. That's the way Christ loved us. As Christ also had loved us. Let me say, the way Christ had loved us. How did Christ loved us? And gave himself for us. Jesus, open our eyes to see how you have loved us. As Christ had loved us. Christ loved us when we were dead in sin and trespasses. He died for us. So the way you have to love is to love your brethren. You walk in love with your brethren, even in their sin and their imperfection. You love your wife. That's how Christ loved us. With our shortcomings. You love your brother. You're not murmuring and complaining. That's how Christ loved. That's one thing you love in a culture. And when you are loving, you are washing your brother. You are nurturing your brother. That's how Christ loved. Husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself. You love and gave himself that you may wash up by the washing of the water. You love your brother by washing your brother. You love your brother by covering your brother. You love your brother by attending to inadequacies of your brother. That's how you love. That's how Christ loved us and gave himself for us. Do not love him out, but you love the way Christ loved the church. The church is not clean, but Christ is bringing things that will clean the church. You love your brother by encouraging your brother the way Christ is encouraging us. Encourage your brother. You love your wife the way Christ loved the church. Love the church. Within the church coming, the washing of the water by the wall, sanctifying her. You love your brother and your wife, your husband, your children by sanctifying them. Your word must sanctify them. Your action must sanctify them. You don't do things that will defy your brother further. You don't do things that will cause your brother to stumble. When you do that, you are not loving as Christ loved. Because Christ does not make the church to stumble. Christ cared for her. He nurtured her. He cherished her. That's what Ephesians said. He said in Romans 5, 6. For when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 4. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yeah, pardon for a good man. And there's no man that is good. I'm talking about the way you become good. When you're going to receive things to come, or the children of your Father who is in heaven, that is good, 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 good Father. You are going to love as Christ loved when you are at peace with your brethren. You are at peace, at peace, at peace. When you follow peace in your department, peace in your home. Wife, you are at peace with your husband. Husband, you are at peace with your wife. Brethren, brothers and brothers, living together. When you are at peace with each other, that does not mean there are no things that want to offend. You pursue peace and you ensure it. You pursue, you ensure and pursue it. You pursue peace and ensure it. You not only seek peace, you don't only pursue peace, you also ensure it. You make sure that there's peace in your homes. You make sure there's peace in your marriage. If you have to be taken as a fool, you chose to go that way so that there can be peace in your marriage, there can be peace in your homes. There can be peace between your children and their fathers, peace between mothers and their children, peace between brothers to brothers, peace in the church of God. Peace in the community of God's people. Peace, 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 peace. That is the walk in love. That is the walk. Those are good works that men must see to glorify your Father who is in heaven. So Jokai told them, walk in love as Christ has loved us and have given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for his sweet smelling. So we saw that this sacrifice, here is Romans chapter 12. They call this left sacrifice a living sacrifice. What is a living sacrifice? Father! This is a commandment for children. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. Can you see how I can become living? Good. I can generate good in me. When you be like your Father who is in heaven, which good work? Do you condemn me? Do you stone me for good work? Do you stone me for? Which good works do you stone me for? John 10:20. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted, that they call you. They shall be called. They are not yet. Peacemakers are not yet children of God.
Yes, sir.
They are godly men. When you're a peacemaker, you're a godly man. You're not children of God yet. They might have to show you good things for you to start doing it. When you're a peacemaker, you are just a godly man. Then it's a godly man that have acquitted himself. Job 22:21. When you have acquitted and you are at peace with him, that good will come to you. So it's then is that the good will come to you. And how does good come to you? Good come to you as works. They reveal good works to you. They show you good works, which is love work. Good works is what? It's love work. Good works are love works. That's when you see Book of Revelation, what they show as good works are love work. Good works are love works. I know thy works, Revelation 2:2-4, and thy labor, and thy patience. When you are patient with your husband, you are doing good works. Husband, when you are patient with your wife to change, you are patient with your children, brothers to brother. When you are patient with each other, brother to sister, you are patient. You have to patient, and you are not complaining. You are not complaining. You are enduring it, and you are helping to cover up things that are not. That is good works. I know thy work, labor, thy patience. How that cannot bear them that are evil. Somebody says, yes, daddy, that's why. I cannot bear them that are evil. No. The brother is not evil.
Yes.
The brothers are not evil. The brothers are not evil. They are your brothers. They are not evil. Your brothers are not doing anything to hurt you. They are not doing intentionally. They don't have evil in the heart. They are not going to hurt. No. They are not evil. Those who say cannot only do that evil here are preachers that brought erroneous teaching. They want to hurt your soul. It's not your brother that are evil here. They want to perpetuate corruption into your soul that they are trying to sanctify. Those are the evil men. Paul called them in Philippians chapter, is it 3 or 4? He called them evil workers. Beware of concision. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. So who are evil? They are dogs. Your brother is a sheep. They are swine. Those who take precious things and turn it. Like some of your brother, they are the one that want to do you evil. They want to hurt you. Evil are men that want to hurt the work of God on you. Not someone that offend you. It's not evil. Like the prayer of Jabez in Chronicle, you enlarge my territory, that evil may not hurt me. 1 Chronicles 4, grieve me. 2 Chronicles 4:10. Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou will bless me indeed. Enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, that thy may keep me from evil, that may not grieve me or hurt me. And God granted him that which is requested. 1 Chronicles 4:10. So evil are dogs. Your brethren as a sheep is not an evil worker. And a sheep can hurt you. It can step on your toe. But it's not an evil. So when he said that you cannot bear them that are evil, Philippians 3:2 said, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, and beware of the concision. So they come with you in sheep clothing, but they are wolves inwardly. So when he said cannot bear them that are evil, but you are supposed to bear your brother. A big amen. Revelation 2:4. That thou have tried them which they say they are apostles, and I find them liar. And I bore, and I patient. Can you see? There are other people that you bore. They bore their brethren. They bore the apostles that are true. But they do not bear them that are false. So can you see? So when they say you do not bore them, you've tried them. But I bore and I patient. For my name's sake, I labor. And I'm not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from where thou hast fallen and repent. Do the first works. So first works are good works. Or else I will come unto thee quickly and I will move thy candlestick out of this place, except thou repent. Matthew 5.
From verse 9 and 10.
You shall be called. So for you to call you children of God, good must come to you. And how does good come to you? Good come to you by revealing what? First works to you. So first works are good works. First works are revelation or unveiling of good commandments to you. Works are commandments. So he called that first works in Hebrews 6 from verse 5. Hebrews 6, 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8. He said, and I've tasted good word of the Lord and the powers of the world to come. He they shall follow it to renew again to repentance, since they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. So that the things that the Son of God gives, because I said things to come are things of the Son, the Father, and God. I took time to teach you the scripture. So when the Son of God starts giving you, the Son of God will give you good things. And these good things, the Father also have it. And the Father have good and perfect. Seeing that they crucified the Son of God afresh and put into an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rains. Rain is good. So he called the rain there what? Drinketh, he called the rain there powers of the world to come. They are not of the present. That's why good is not with the present. The good of the present was corrupted. What did I say?
The good of the present was corrupted.
The good of the present we are corrupted. Because Genesis said it was good, but it became corrupted. It is not good for man to be alone. Marriage that was given to man is corrupted now. What God says, it's not good for man to be alone. Let us make a suitable wife for me. Marriage has been corrupted now. That man have divorced. Man have beaten each other. They harm each other. They kill each other. They carry to good job. So you can see what God meant for good in the present has been corrupted. So where you can find good now is in the world to come. You can't find good in the present anymore. You can't find good. The former was good, but they have been corrupted. So where you can find good is things to come. They are the matter of the world to come. And they are in the Son of God. So that we said, seeing they confess to the Son of God afresh, that is Hebrews 6:6. And putting an open shame in the rain, we drink it off, and come and burn it, and bring it forth up, made for it by it with dread. Receive the blessing from God. What comes from God? It's good. Good comes from God. You receive from blessing from God. Good comes from God. He received a blessing from God. All the blessings of God are good. All the blessings of God are good. But much more, the blessings of God that are perfect. But that which beareth thorns and bear is rejected and is near to cursing, who tends to be born. But beloved, we are pursuing of better things. Can you see? There are good, there are better. Say good and better.
Good and better.
And they are perfect. Good, better, perfect. Good, better, perfect. Good, better. She started with good, but they say we are pursuit of better things. There are good things, there are better things, there are perfect things. Good, better, perfect. So that word better is called acceptable. But they are better. But Bible called them better things of you. But beloved, we are pursuit of better things of you. But not your better things of you. And they say, they also, and things that accomplish salvation. We are pursuit of better things of you and things that accomplish salvation. In making sure another things, better things and things that accomplish salvation are perfect things. Because your guys have better things. Do that at his son. You learn obedient that by the thing you will suffer. And be made perfect. Jesus, in the day of his flesh, we offer prayer and supplication. That's Hebrews chapter 5. When in the days of his flesh, when he has offered up prayer and supplication with strong crying, until tonight he was able to save him from death, and it was heard that in that he feared. Though you were a son, this is a perceptible son. This is my beloved son. You are aware, please. But they also want to make him perfect. Do that at his son. Yet learn obedient by the things he suffer. The things he suffer are perfect things which he suffer and be made perfect this by the things. So these things that he suffer are things that accomplish salvation. That things that when you want to make a confession, obedient by the things he suffer and be made perfect, he became the author of salvation unto them that obeyed him. So you can see here we are pursuing better things of you, and not just better things, and things that accomplish salvation. So things that accomplish salvation are things that are perfect. Because if things are better, but if you go to deliver salvation, these things are going to bring you to salvation. Both things that are better and things that accomplish salvation, though we do speak. Those we do speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love which you have shown towards his name, in that you are minister to the saint and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligently to the full assurance of hope. So you can see that things that are better are things of hope. Because things of hope are things of better. So full assurance unto the full assurance of hope. Unto, there's the end. But there is a full assurance of hope. And unto the end. So there's the end. There's a full assurance of hope. That they need to show the same diligence. But there's a place there where they are. Showing things of hope are things of better. This hope is hope of God. Things of hope of God. To show. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope. But before this, which you have shown towards his name, that what they have shown already, that verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown towards his name. So there's his name. There is the hope. And there's the end. There are three things here. They show something. They show something towards his name. The same thing you show. Can you not show it towards the full assurance of hope? Then, to unto the end. They are talking about things to come. Good, better, and perfect. Good, better, and perfect. But we are focusing on the good so that we can be children of our Father. Or we can be children of God. Children of our Father, which is in heaven. These good things are what make you, they are going to do the good work that make you to register your name in written in heaven. Hebrews 12. There are good things we must show. And that was what Ephesians chapter 5 was saying in verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you children of light. Are you light in the Lord? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. The Lord will bless you. Amen. And keep you. Cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.